to the length of earlier programming on Coin Local 6, we now join the following program already in progress.
Could be. You kind of could have cut loose a little more, maybe.
Yeah. So, Daryl, you here?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, so, hey. Added Daryl. So, Daryl, you just missed our exclusive RoboCop review.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear the whole thing. Plus, minus.
C minus, at best.
At best? Say.
Like, aggressively mediocre.
Now, are you set? Because I'm a big RoboCop fan. The original.
Right.
Big. Are you saying that as a big RoboCop fan, or?
I'm saying it from both aspects. As a RoboCop fan. Like, the other thing, Mac, remember we were talking about? It's not really a remake. It's not a remake.
It's the same concept redone, right?
Pretty much. There's nothing, like.
But there's none of the satire, none of those, like.
There's some satire, but it has nothing. Like, the villains are different, right? I mean, it's the beats
are
different. There's a
they
little
go for the
bit.
The satire thing, but they do it in a different way.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, there's a little bit of, again, help refresh my memory, Max, of the directive that he can't follow. I mean, there's that.
Oh, yeah. They do a thing that's similar to that, but different.
But that's almost like a throwaway. You know, it's kind of a tough. So I wouldn't even call it a remake, like a, you know, something that's going to redo the plot. So,
a reboot.
I guess. Yeah, I guess a reboot. But regardless, as a RoboCop fan, I am a fan of the first one, a little bit less so the second one, and not much of the third one at all.
The third one's the worst. The cartoon's pretty fun, though.
And the RoboCop beat 'em up arcade game's great.
Ah, yeah.
as a fan, it was a mediocre. And if you looked at it, and the other question we had said, okay, if we went in this movie, and instead of, if it wasn't called RoboCop, and it was called Super Cyborg Cop Man, right? How would you react to it? So if I took away all the baggage of RoboCop, it still would be just a mediocre sci-fi action movie.
I'd probably feel the same. Yeah, just kind of a downer.
Yeah.
Kind of could have been so much more.
I think so. Yeah, it could have been because RoboCop's cool. And even if they, went in a direction that wasn't as comical and satire, fine, because it's just a cool idea, you know? This just wasn't it. And I think the last thing we'll say for your benefit was just that we thought that the action left a lot to be desired, which is something you have to get right if you're doing
right
this.
Because that's you know, the satire, the comedy of RoboCop is, you know, the original RoboCop is part of the appeal, but a good portion of the appeal is the hard R action violence,
right?
Which is some of the best of its era,
right?
I mean, just people are getting
melted.
Oh my God, just melted by a rays of bullets, just like
that's true.
You know, I mean, people are just getting ripped apart, and that was rad in 1987 or whatever the heck it was.
Which, and that intense violence was offset by the humor of it, too.
Right. It was all part of the same package.
Right, so.
You know, and so by the time they go to RoboCop 3, it's all like kiddie stuff.
Yeah.
And completely ridiculous. But that appeal of that first RoboCop, like, if they aren't going to get, because there aren't hard R action movies anymore. That's why the Raid Redemption is so awesome.
Right.
Because it's hard R action. You just don't find that anymore. And, people want a PG-13 rating. They don't want to deal with that, like, hard R violence. Paul Verhoeven sure did. And I didn't expect this director to, you know, bridge that gap.
Yeah. And though I would say that I'm sure that was a studio mandate more than anything.
Oh, yeah. You know? I'm sure.
I think any director they'd want to go for it, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But there's just no availability for that. Nobody's going to, you know, it's not going to get a PG-13.
That's true.
You know, it was almost like RoboCop was aiming, the original RoboCop was aiming for NC-17 with its violence.
And once again, speaking of there's no hard R action movies, a slight tip of the hat again to A Good Day to Die Hard. Not the greatest movie
Fair
in the
enough.
World.
Fair
but they went for it, and it was an R action movie. So I just always want to just kind of slide that in. So.
And to be fair, you've got you've also got Nicholas Refn Nicholas Refn's like Black Death and Drive
Drive especially
God
sure.
Forgives that are spectacularly violent movies.
Right. And well, I've always maintained like they do exist, Daryl. Like the harder action movies, but Hollywood doesn't make them.
Yeah, I guess I was talking to a friend of mine earlier this week about this, and I guess this is a way different off topic of RoboCop, but do you guys remember the mid to late 80s movies like Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Andy Sidaris.
Yeah, the Sidaris stuff.
Yeah.
I reviewed some. I mean, those don't count though.
Well, they don't count, but I like, I miss that attitude that there were movies out there that were that trashy and that violent.
That was trash, right.
Totally trashy, but still an actiony, entertaining action movie.
I just want, that's one thing, but give me Cobra, give me Commando. Right.
No, Cobra was terrible.
You know, I haven't watched it actually. I bought that. the cover art's great, but give me Commando. Give me that. You know, your Predator and whatnot, and the original your three diehards. You know that kind of stuff.
Predator's a treasure. I know that.
I'll definitely take.
We're on the same page on this, but Predator is a treasure.
Yeah. All right, Mac. Anything else to add? Anything else you wanted to call attention to?
I've been spending many, many hours playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yes.
Which took some getting used to, but I've been really enjoying it. You know, I'm a big fan of this whole series. And some folks don't like it. It's not for everyone. That's fine. But me, personally, I'm a fan.
Yeah. No, it's got a good following. I've heard good things about that game. So.
Yeah. I was worried that the pirate theme has been done, but they really made it work, and they made it work really well. The naval combat is exciting. The sword fighting with the cutlasses is great. The combat.
Yeah.
Thing is, though, if you're going to get anywhere in this game, you have to, like, what they call farming, where you have to just go out into the open world and just destroy boats over and over and over again to get enough materials to build up your boat, and it takes a really long time. So.
What I found funny is somebody I know who's a big fan of that. Who started playing it right at the same time I started playing Far Cry 3, and so we were talking about it. They're both made by Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
And there are exact parallels to nearly every portion of those two games. Like, they are the same game with different skins. They sound equally as fun. I haven't played Black Flag. But Far Cry 3 has exactly all those same things in a modern setting. You know, but you have to go out and randomly hunt creatures for long enough.
Right.
You get enough.
That's right.
You get enough skins so that you can get more ability to carry potions or whatever they call them.
Yeah, that's a good game, Mac, too. But Far Cry is a great game.
It's a fun game.
It really is. And they do some cool stuff. They do some cool things with that are surprises. But there's really nothing quite compares to sneaking around in the brush with a bow and arrow and just taking out pirates, you know, and taking over their camp. And I've talked about this, how, like, that's the only game where I remember I was getting ready to attack this camp, and a Komodo dragon came out of nowhere and wiped everybody out. And I just walked in and took it over, because the Komodo dragon.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff is fun, and it's random, because I
it is random.
But there are a few things more satisfying recently, because I stepped away from it for a couple of months, and when I played it again, I remembered, holy cow, this game is fun. I for the first time ever was able to clear out a camp using only takedowns.
Nice, that's great, yeah.
And that it took like 40 minutes.
Right.
To wind up sneaking up and killing 8 dudes.
But it is tons of fun.
It's so satisfying.
It really is.
When that flag goes up and you've won. That it's some of the most satisfying gaming I've had in a long time.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed has a lot of the same things, where stealth missions and hiding in the bushes, and you have to get to the warehouse in the center of the area to steal all the stuff. Yeah, so
it
sounds a lot of the same.
And since we're talking about video games, I'll just kind of chime in. So I've been cleaning, like, Xbox has been, like, giving a lot of really great sales. So I've just been buying, like, some games I've never played, some games I've been waiting on, but I forgot about, and I see them really cheap, or some games that I've already owned. But, like, Dante's Inferno, which is a beat-em-up game, which I really liked, it was like $3 on sale. So I've been, like, filling my hard drive with digital games, and I'm really being persuaded by the digital lifestyle. Instead of, like, swapping discs is quickly becoming archaic. You know, it's fun to just, like, pull up your game list and pop something. I've been playing Sleeping Dogs. Have you heard of that game, Sleeping Dogs?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So it's an open world Grand Theft Auto type of game, which I typically do not like. But this one's fun. It's set in Hong Kong. You're like a undercover agent. The combat is a ton of fun. And it's just fun driving around. It recaptures that fun just kind of driving. Like, I just screw around in Hong Kong for hours, you know, like, not hours, but hours in the game. And it's just like, this is, I go to the waterfront and I walk around and I just push fishermen into the water. it's not as sadistic as like.
It's not Grand Theft Auto.
It's not Grand Theft Auto.
Just walking around being a dick in a video game.
That's what it is. And so like, I don't even grab them. I just kind of nudge my character into them and they just like move over and they fall into the water. And I just find that immensely hilarious. I have no idea why.
Yeah, I would love to, join you on that because there's a lot of games. And I don't play a ton of games, but so there's a lot that I've missed over the generation.
Right.
But I still have, my big fat first generation PlayStation 3. And, the download revolution, while seemingly great for people like me with a big fat first generation PS3.
Yeah, no good.
I can fit exactly one game on my hard drive.
Yeah, no good. Like,
that game right now is Far Cry 3.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Until I finish that, then there will not be a second
and
game.
And I lived that life with my big fat Xbox with like it's 12 gigs. But, you know, when I got the newer, slimmer model and they have third, aftermarket hard drive.
Right.
So I got like a 250 gig one for $40 from Amazon.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's just glorious. It's just great. I mean,
yeah.
I've just been really into it. So I don't know. I go on about last generation's games and still.
When I wanted to play finally Mass Effect 3, and realized that I had to delete, and I played it. I did it. Had to delete literally everything off of my Xbox or off my PS3 to fit this game onto my system. Right. Like literally everything, including my the YouTube app, and it's 250K. Like, I had to delete everything to get it. And I've either got to upgrade or just accept.
Yeah,
and I accepted.
That's good.
So when I deign to play a PS4, I deign to get a PS4, I'll probably play a lot of those older games.
So my last thing before we move on to our next segment is the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
I just watched that about 20 minutes before I got on here.
So I know jack squat about that. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of the characters. But I will say, of all the Marvel movies that I...
It looks like fun.
It looks like a ton of fun. I mean, Chris Pratt, to me, is obviously a man god among these parts.
And but he looks like one at this point, which is bizarre.
That's right. Like, so, Mac, I'm going to lean on your expertise. You're familiar with the comic?
Yeah, mostly.
Okay.
There's basically been two groups of Guardians of the Galaxy over the years. This is the later, more recent group.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know Star-Lord from, something Lord, but...
From Lord Star.
So I don't know what that is, but Chris Pratt seems perfect for him, whoever he is. I don't know. So it looked fun, and it's like, wow, this is one of the first Marvel movies in a while where, maybe since the Avengers, where I'm like... Man, sign me up. This thing looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, a big comics friend of mine was describing this to me, and I hadn't seen the trailer yet a few days ago, was describing this to me and started talking about this raccoon.
Right.
And I'm looking at him, like, this is the stupidest damn-sounding thing you have ever said to me. But then this evening he showed me the trailer, and that raccoon looks like it makes sense. It looks like it works. Like that, it looks like a lot of fun. That's probably looking forward to that more than anything in a while, at least superhero movie-wise.
Yeah,
or comic book movie-wise.
Yeah, I get that a look a lot. When people ask me about Guardians of the Galaxy, I say, you know there's a raccoon, right? And they're like, what, raccoon?
So let's, I'm glad we diverted into the lament for lack of our action movies, but we'll pick up the pace here because all this talk about video games wants me to get back into Sleeping Dogs and pushing more people off of piers. So let's rock it right through lightning round. Something of interest that you've got coming out for the site, Mac. Go.
Let's see. I reviewed the complete series of Dilbert, the TV show from the 90s, based on the popular comic strip.
Wow.
The show has a huge cult following, and so if you're a fan, that's great. Me, I'm not really a fan.
Yeah.
That was never much for the show.
The expectations for the show were so huge. Everyone at UPN, they thought that this was going to be just the number one show in the country, and that it was just going to take television by storm, and you can tell that they're just thinking big. Everything about the show has just got to be big. It's got this, just epic opening theme, starts with a big bang and then goes through this big 3D sequence with it zooming around all the cubicles and then all the jokes are just really just big and broad and slapstick and all the pop culture spoofs I think that the Dilbert character and that world shouldn't be like big and huge and elaborate. You know, it's more like low key slice of life, wry humor of the comic strip, and that's completely lost in the series. Mm-hmm. So it was just, you know, and again, you know, the fans love it. They say that, you know, it's an undeserved classic, but for me, I don't know. I think it's a total misfire.
Go ahead, Daryl. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to combine the segment I missed and this segment into one short thing. So, it debuted on went up on the site today. I reviewed the, Doctor Who, original Doctor Who show arc, The Moon Base, which is the second appearance of the Cybermen and the second Doctor. Uh-huh. And, I was intrigued because, not because the story was particularly great, it was okay, but because two of the episodes were lost and they refilled those episodes, they have the audio, they refilled those episodes with, animation. And those two episodes allowed me to, sort of separate myself from the cheapness of that era of the show and just watch the story. With some decent animation, nothing elaborate, but decent animation, but it looked clean and it didn't look like, it didn't look terrible, like some of those arcs did. And I was impressed. And so, what I've been doing for, outside of the site and, I decided to go ahead as a result of being intrigued by that, going and sourcing Doctor Who from 1963 on.
Wow.
And I'm going to make a project, and I'm going to wind up blogging about the project. It's sort of inspired by your 21 Jump Street, Mac.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and blog each arc from 1963 on.
Wow.
And nice. We'll see how far I get. But
there's a lot of craziness.
There's a lot of stuff. But anyway, I'm about halfway through the first season. And I'm enjoying it a lot more than I kind of expected I would. But yeah, that's the big current project that I have decided over the last week or so.
All right, exclusively announced here on the Friday Filibuster.
Yes,
fantastic. Good. That's, so for me, I would say two. Speaking of imported action movies, I always have my hopes up for these. Two came in my mailbox the other day. I've got Fists, plural, of Legend, not to be confused with the Great Fists of Legend, and Mortal Enemies. Fists of Legend was one of the most painful experiences. Again, one of these, the disc art is lying to you. You know, they show some awesome MMA fighting, and like the accolades are pulled, and they're like disturbingly vague about what's to come. And it's this weird movie about childhood, like these childhood kids who were bullies or whatever, or good fighters when their kids grow up and enter into this fighting tournament. And it's not that – the action's kind of lame. It's really not interesting. It's kind of a comedy, but it's forced. And it's 2 hours and 34 minutes long.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Like, just brutal. So I you don't have to read my review, but it is brutal. On the other hand, I got a movie called Mortal Enemies starring Robin Shao from Mortal Kombat. He's Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat. And a bunch of other dudes that I'd never heard of, but it was a 2011 movie. Everything about the movie is terrible. Plot, acting, dialogue, everything. Except the one of the main guys who I never heard of, he is pulling off stuff that I haven't seen Tony Jaa do. he is doing these moves, no wires or anything, that left my jaw on the floor. And so he alone makes it a must view. So Mortal Enemies, review coming soon. Check it out just to see what this guy can do. And I was just floored by the stuff he's
doing.
Where's
it out of? What country?
Good question. I think
Mortal Enemies.
I think Indonesia, maybe.
Well, that's what I was going to wonder, because there's a long history of Indonesian filmmaking that's super dangerous.
Right. But this one isn't really dangerous, like Bangkok Knockout or something. This is just one man, incredible athleticism, really. Like, it's very much like Tony Jaa. That's what it reminds me of.
It is Indonesian.
Yeah. So, So I don't know. Really worth a look.
Apparently, according to the IMDb storyline, it is an action-packed tale of truth, brotherhood, and vengeance. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. I do agree with that.
IMDb likes it for who's seen it. Seven stars.
Yeah, so this guy, Verdi Bahawanta. Never heard of him, never seen him. The guy is a god, my friends. Trust me. I've seen a lot of wannabes, but this guy delivers. So, yeah, you should just check it out just to see what he can do. So, okay. And plot keywords on IMDb: pirate, orphanage, thug, brotherhood, and vengeance. If that doesn't sell you, I don't know what does.
IMDb tagline or plot or whatever keywords, genre tags are hilarious.
They are. All right. So, real quick, Mac, we do have some upcoming releases we can look at, right?
Yes, we do. So, and you at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for February 25th.
And just chat some about broken images. Do you guys have any broken images?
I do have broken images.
Yes. So there's a few
trying to refresh.
Images.
I'm going to open up. Let me see if I can open up a different browser.
I can get fixed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, probably some of the big releases of the week. Gravity is coming out on a 3D disc if you have a 3D setup. And Thor.
The Dark World. Yep.
Yeah.
That's fast as a DVD. That's got to be one of the faster.
Let's see. Mid-November to mid-February. Yeah, that is
pretty quick turnaround.
That's like 14, 15 weeks. So, I mean, it was a big success, which I cannot tell you how much that shocks me. Because of how terrible that first one was. That's surprising to me.
Mac, we got the 300 Spartans, which I'm wondering why that's being released.
It's almost like there's another one. There's something else in here of those, the 300. Last Stand of the 300.
There you go.
Excellent. Because I'm still trying to see if I can get a better.
Yeah, I think some of these are just straight broken, unfortunately.
Yeah, it looks like something's broken. But so is any one of these Asylum Pictures making these?
I think 300 Spartans is an older film.
It is. Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
It's a retelling of the same legend, but from a couple of years ago.
It's 2014.
Oh.
Rudolph Maté, Richard Egan.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is new. Amazon says 2014.
Yeah, it does.
That's all I'm judging that off of, so I don't know anything beyond.
So did you see this Harry Potter collection?
It's not as huge as the last one.
Okay.
Oh, really?
This one's
31 discs.
Yeah, this is the budget one. This one.
This is the budget? This $170 one's the budget?
Yes. The other one had like a bunch of swag.
Actual magic collectibles
and stuff.
Yeah, collectibles and like books and all, not the books, but you know, booklets and all sorts of junk. This looks like it's the 31 special. It's the 31 discs of films and special features. Because my roommate, who's a huge Harry Potter book fan, but not a huge fan of the movie, I was sort of taunting him with this last night when I was looking at it. So anyway, I studied it, and it looks like for big Harry Potter fans that it's probably worth something. But for nobody else. It's just it's crazy exhaustive.
And if you couldn't get enough of RoboCop this weekend, there's RoboCroc.
Oh, boy.
RoboCroc. Yeah, I reviewed a movie this last week by the guy who made Mega Cyclone. Because RoboCroc is a sci-fi channel original, and so is Scarecrow. But he made Mega Cyclone, and I should have known better than to request the movie. My problem. My fault. Let's see. Anything else?
I don't know. I'm not seeing much. See through the images. So.
Yeah, with the images there.
Yeah. So I'm gonna. Yeah. Can you see any inadvertently sounding DVD release of the week? Anyone?
I'll find one.
All right, Matt, you got one?
So how about Muscle Shoals?
That's good.
Okay, give me a second. I gotta get the Amazon link for some of these.
I think you're being very windy in the mic, Daryl. I think you might need to move the mic away from your mouth like a half meter or something.
Sorry about that.
Or close the window. Maybe there's like a wind coming through.
It's probably a wind. I don't have windows in my house. I'm a poor man.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Let's see. I'll find something real fast.
I have to go with the middle.
All right, I'm going to go with, because I got nothing better, and the pictures are all screwed up. I am going to go with the 2014 Discover Orange Bowl.
Oh, we'll take it. All right, moving on. We'll wrap this up with I'm confusing myself. Our ambush topics. You know, this works around in topics that we'll throw at each other. Mac, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, this topic deals with special effects. Very popular effect. And a popular effect that we saw a lot of during the 80s and in other eras, and that is the blue lightning special effect.
What's a good one?
So what movies had blue lightning?
I'm trying to stay away from the force lightning, which is probably the correct answer. Let me see here. Maybe not.
I am going to go with the electricity that Skeletor would often shoot at various good guys in the original, in the animated He-Man.
See, I was actually thinking in the live-action He-Man.
I couldn't remember if there was actual blue lightning in the
live-action. I don't
know if it
was blue. When he turned into that weird space god at the end.
Right. I know there's lightning of some kind.
Yeah, that was like burnt amber or something like that.
Couldn't say it was blue.
Yeah.
So, but I know it was blue coming out of that staff.
Yes.
There you go.
So.
Wasn't there blue lightning in – yeah, at the end – right, at the very end of Aliens – Of the landing pad that's falling apart, isn't there?
Oh, that's right. There is
blue
some
lightning everywhere.
Yeah, lightning streaks. Yeah.
Yeah, just engulfing it. So, yeah, that's all I go with. Aliens collapsed. The collapsing aliens.
Cool. I have a whole list of these. Hellraiser, Back to the Future, Big Trouble in Little China. I threw Willow on the list, Dave.
Oh, good.
And,
which one is that from Willow? Blue Lightning. What am I thinking of?
At the end, when Willow's fighting the evil end table,
that's
there's
true.
Lightning shooting all around the chamber there.
That's
when
true.
When is the blue lightning in Hellraiser?
That's how Pinhead gets taken out.
Oh, in Hellraiser 2.
He dies
2.
At the end. Yeah.
In Hellraiser 2.
No, he gets zapped at the end, and he like transforms into blue lightning for a second, then he disappears.
Yeah, but in Hellbound. Oh, no, you're right. You're right. That's how they all disappear.
Mac outmaneuvered Daryl in Hellraiser.
Out-Hellraisered me. Good on you, man.
If those didn't make the cut, which one made the cut?
The movie that really goes overboard with blue lightning.
Can I guess?
Take a shot.
Big Trouble in Little China.
I said that one already.
Oh, I gotta pay attention to this podcast.
That's a good one, too.
It's a great one. The Lightning God's the man. Go ahead.
The one that really goes overboard is My Science Project, 1985.
I have no idea what that is.
Me neither.
Well, it's advertised as a comedy, and it looks like a comedy. You find it in the comedy section. It's really an action movie. A kid makes a science project that creates, I believe it's called The Void or The Vortex, which is just this crazy blue lightning that flies around town, zapping everything and causing crazy stuff to happen. It makes a dinosaur appear at one point, and it kills people, and the kid and his friends have to race against time to stop the void from destroying the town. And the whole movie is just the blue lightning effect, just over and over, blue lightning, blue lightning, blue lightning everywhere. It's just, it's insane.
Oh, all right. Very good. All right, since we're talking Assassin's Creed and Mortal Enemies, let's just go with something simple. Pirates. Memorable pirates. So don't give me Jack Sparrow.
All right, I'm going with the pre-season 3, post-season 2 mini-movie of Archer becoming king of the pirates, getting kidnapped by Somali pirates and becoming their pirate king / lacrosse coach.
Okay. That's not Jack Sparrow. Good job.
It's not Jack Sterling Archer. A way better pirate.
Oh, boy. Let me see. There's a lot of them, sure. I'm just trying to think of a good one. How about here's an oldie but goodie. Remember, you ever seen Cutthroat Island?
Tari took mine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Once a long time ago, and I have a faint memory of actually kind of liking it, even though I believe it is the biggest box office bomb ever, right?
It's one of them, but yeah, they tried to do the gender flip thing where Gina right. Davis is the action hero yes. and she has to rescue Matthew Modine because he's the damsel in distress.
How a movie with the tagline, at least on the poster at IMDb, it says, from the director of Die Hard 2 and Cliffhanger. That to me is a sterling resume. I don't know how that fails.
That's a what's his name?
Rennie Harlan.
Yeah, it's Rennie Harlan.
Why
would See, Rennie Harlan direct that?
That's why it's period
piece.
So Rennie Harlan is
there's a serious disconnect. Wait, why would he do that?
Mac, what were you saying? Because Rennie Harlan was dating Gina Davis, right, or married to her or something, right?
Oh, were they? Yeah,
steamy. I think so.
Scandalous.
And actually, Rennie Harlan reappeared earlier this year with that lame-o Hercules movie.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah, I think he directed that. Yep. Does Cutthroat Island ever make it to, like, Blu-ray or something?
I don't think so. It definitely made it to DVD.
It did make, yeah. You could have, for $4, you can have a brand new Cutthroat Island.
And the villain was Frank Langella, who played Skeletor in He-Man.
And the real question is, which is the stronger Gina Davis action movie? Cutthroat Island or Long Kiss Goodnight?
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, Long Kiss Goodnight's way better.
That movie's badass.
It is, just for having Craig Bierko explode on the top of a train. That's how he dies.
I love that crap. That's great.
That's a crazy R-rated movie. That's
an old film.
That is a spry Samuel L. Jackson as well.
That's one of those rentals I hit from my mom when I was like 13 years old.
Okay, since you took mine, Mac. Oh, and you win already, Daryl, right? Yes.
Yep.
Archer.
Yep.
So I guess I wish I could have been more creative, and I thought my Cutthroat Island would have been. But I'll go with One-Eyed Willie, who continues to be the icon, right?
Sure.
I mean, he's just the man. So, although actually, something just occurs to me now as I look across the room, and I see my full house set, my complete set of Full House. There was an exceptionally corny episode where the family goes to a pirate themed restaurant. Does this ring a bell for anybody?
It does.
Yeah, so like DJ's all teenage angsty. She doesn't want to be seen there with, she wants her friends to see her or whatever. And they end up all walking.
But Steph's in pirate gear. And
that's
like,
right.
And she's all into it and whatever the baby, whatever the name was.
So there's a guy who plays a pirate and I don't know who he is. He's just one of those that guys who shows up in like TGIF shows as supporting roles. But he plays a pirate and he makes the entire Tanner family walk the plane into a ball pit. And knowing what we know about ball pits, you're probably safer jumping into a shark infested ocean than a ball pit.
So on that note, there is apparently – I saw something online today and I implore everybody, especially you, Dave, but everybody listening to look it up. It's just a YouTube video of Full House without Michelle.
Oh, okay.
The essential premise – is that it's just a short clip. It's about a 3-minute clip, but it's the essential premise is that what's his name, Danny,
yes,
has, after the death of his wife, has invented a daughter, a baby daughter, and so the person who did it digitally takes Michelle out of these scenes.
Wow,
it's bizarre and macabre.
It sounds like Garfield without Garfield.
It's a lot like Garfield without Garfield,
which is also
be the same
fantastic.
Thing, yeah.
But it's worth the 4 minutes to see it through.
I appreciate that. I think I will check that out. Okay, well, actually, Daryl, I want to wrap this one up.
All right, so this is going to cause other online searches, but I'm going with worst screen hair.
Worst screen hair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mac, you're not going to like this one, but Peter Parker's goth do in Spider-Man 3 really irritated me. Like, I think that, Sam Raimi was a master of toying that line between corny and self-aware and kind of hip and interesting, And he did it perfectly in Spider-Man 2, and I just think he fell over the line with angst-ridden Peter, One dollop of hair over his eyes. So that just irritated me.
I could pick just any anime with all the hair dye mishaps going on there.
Yeah, that's all that. I mean, and there's the Akira pointy business.
Oh man, but yeah, okay. Well, we'll put the anime to the side. Instead, I'll go with Bruce Willis's orange hair in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, oh rough. Yeah, good choice. That might actually win. Although I'm not sure. I think mine might win, but that's pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean that's a crazy movie with all kinds of weird hair and weird fashion because it's this whole other fantasy world. But even with that going on, you know, Bruce Willis, he's an action hero. He deserved it better than,
you know, and I mean, bald works for him, and it makes sense for him. Orange hair, I cannot say the same thing.
Now, what about Mac? What about Chris Tucker's hair in that movie?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's kind of the level of crazy that the movie is attempting.
Gotcha.
And he's the wacky comic relief, so he gets to be wacky. Yeah.
At what point, now, did Luke Besson direct that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At what, was there ever a point where he said, this whole Chris Tucker character is a huge mistake. You know, did he ever do the job? I think I've made a huge mistake. Three quarters of the way of shooting Chris Tucker scenes with the way he's been acting, he's acting the character. I don't know.
Well, the biggest question might be, did Luc Besson ever look at his career and decide at some point I made a mistake?
Oh, brutal. I know. The man gave us Kiss of the Dragon and Take It.
Well, and The Professional and a lot of cool stuff. La Femme Nikita, a lot of cool stuff.
Right.
But
there's a lot of junk that
I'm not like I'm on. I'm closer looking at him like I look at Tim Burton, where there was a time where like there was a lot of I really had a lot of respect for him, but now I'm super skeptical every time he comes out. With
I think yeah, okay, I guess I could see that.
I mean, you know,
maybe
and
me and Rennie Harlan now. So, yeah. Real quick, I don't know why this occurred to me, but fresh out of prison, I guess John McTiernan's getting back in the filmmaking game.
No,
oh, really?
I read that somewhere. That's apropos of nothing we're talking about. but yeah, that'd be the man who brought us Die Hard and the 13th Warrior. Let's get him back in the saddle. So, all right,
let's see what I can.
Sorry,
say.
Go, what's your thing? What's your bad hair thing?
Oh, hang on. I want to see what I'm curious about. What you're saying?
Oh yeah. All right.
DEA thriller Red Squad.
That's right. That's
signed on to.
Yes.
So, we'll see.
Bring it on.
Anyway. My bad hair thing is, for any MASH fans out there will recognize this, the late era MASH perm that they gave to Loretta Swit as Margaret Houlihan.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
The tight blonde perm, a similar haircut to what my mom had at the similar era. but a tight blonde perm that sort of was thrown on the audience begging the question, how do you get a perm in Korea?
Yeah, it's true.
But they stuck with it for a little while, but it's I like MASH a lot, but when I see those episodes, I will turn it off immediately because I cannot compute Loretta Swit with that perm. Worst hair I've ever seen.
It's pretty rough. Boy, first ever, Mac, we better ended a Friday filibuster with a Loretta Swit reference.
Hopefully it won't be the last.
Hopefully it won't be the last. So, but that is the end. So thank you for sticking with us. Friday filibuster at dvdverdict.com is the email. Tune in next week for more exciting excitement. And, Mac, take us away.
I'd buy that for $1.